Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath to each one of you. As you're taking out your Bibles and Bible apps and turning to the book of Proverbs, I'd like to ask you a question to kick us off this morning. Where is it that you go to get your wisdom? That's a very important question, seems to me. What is it that shapes your decision-making every day more than anything else? Is it your education that you fall back on? Are the friends and family members that you rely on for your wisdom? Is it the media? Maybe it's a talking head that gets a lot of your attention. Maybe it's the internet, you know, a blog or Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or TikTok, the list goes on, and you're always consulting your favorite expert. You're faced with a problem in your life. You're dealing with a difficult dilemma. You've got a decision to make. Where do you go each day for your wisdom? My wife loves to eat good Chinese food. And one of the more enjoyable aspects to a really good Chinese meal is opening up the fortune cookie, right? Do you ever look forward to that moment at the end of your meal when you can break open that fortune cookie and pull out that little fortune that's all rolled up inside? Anyone relate with me there? Here's one of my favorites. I kept it. I still remember it. Faith is the beautiful life that enhances every object. Isn't that beautiful? And we've been looking at this thing called wisdom that is spelled out in the book of Proverbs, what it means according to the wisest man who ever lived, inspired by the greatest being in the universe, to truly have a beautiful and wise mind. Now, Proverbs is part of what theologians refer to as wisdom literature. Proverbs is accompanied by books like Job and Psalms and Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon. The theme of Proverbs, of course, you know already, is wisdom. And according to the writer of Proverbs, there are two paths that we can follow in life. One path is the path of wisdom. The other path is the path of foolishness. And the encouragement that we receive throughout the book is pursue wisdom. Solomon says as if it was the most attractive and desirable being on the planet. Pursue wisdom, Solomon says, like you pursue nothing else. Now today, we've enjoyed our Pathfinders, today's Pathfinder Sabbath. We honor the young people in the community of faith we call Woodside. With this celebration, along with the fact that Father's Day is just around the corner, it's fitting that we find ourselves in the first few chapters of Proverbs, because the first 9 chapters in the book of Proverbs is in the context of a father who is giving advice to his son or his daughter into how to navigate your life in a wise way. If you follow the path of wisdom, that father says, it will lead to life and to blessing and to deep meaning. But if you follow the path of foolishness, it will lead you to pain and heartache and brokenness. And you will look back on your life at the end of your days and you will feel this great sense of sadness and regret. Now this morning, just to illustrate wisdom in the first 9 chapters, we're going to just look at a short vignette in chapter 3. So take your Bible app, and I'll encourage you to just turn to chapter 3. Again, this is a reminder, this is set in the context of a wise father who is talking to his children I imagine they are in adolescence and they're just heading off into young adulthood. I believe that Solomon most likely was offering wisdom to his teenage children, revealing several things that they needed to resolve in their own lives before they headed out into the world as adults. You don't want to become an adult, Solomon says, without having settled these particular issues in your life. We're only going to look at a couple of these this morning for the sake of time. So this morning, wise sayings for children, for youth, as they grow up into young adults. Or you could say, wise sayings for you as parents. These are important and wise things that you must teach your children. These are the things that will prepare your children for life. They're found in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. Today we're going to look at just a couple of these. So let's look in chapter 3. Let's begin with verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years. They will bring you peace and prosperity. Now, if you look at the promise, it's pretty difficult to translate the Hebrew words into English, which is so often the case. It's difficult for us as we translate from Hebrew to English to get the meaning and the full impact. What he's saying is so much more than just you're going to live 80 or 90 years. Maybe you'll be a centenarian. It misses the point completely. It's a saying that means this. Solomon says, not only will these wise sayings bring long life and true happiness to you, they will bring you deep meaning, a rich and full and profitable life. Solomon says, if you follow these principles, you are going to live a life filled with shalom. Shalom, it is an experience of contentment, completeness, wholeness, well-being, harmony. Is that something you're looking for in your life? Solomon says, look no further. It's right here. So here they are. We're going to look at just 3 of them. First chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. The writer of Proverbs says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Here, Solomon says, is the very most important first wise saying. He says, saturate your life, your heart, with love and faithfulness. Now, it's important when you're in Proverbs not to move too quickly. What is it that he says that we should not ever let go of? Love and faithfulness. Then he says this, bind those two things around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Does that remind you of any passage in Scripture? Right? Deuteronomy 6, you remember? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So the writer of Deuteronomy says there is only one God. And you are to love that one God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. This is one of the most important passages in all of the Old Testament to the Hebrew. It was called the Shema. It was like the Magna Carta of the home, which would guarantee the happiness, the security, the well-being of the family in the purposes of Yahweh. Take these truths and write them on your foreheads. Put them in the palm of your hands. Put these most important truths on the doorposts when you're having those critical conversations with your children, when they wake up, and yes, when they go to sleep. You see, Solomon has just elevated love and faithfulness to the same level as the Shema. Let love and faithfulness, he says, never leave you. Have any of you ever heard of Robert Redford? Of course you've heard of Robert Redford, unless you're young. Maybe you haven't. My wife loves Robert Redford. You all know that, right? Well, maybe I should rephrase that. She's a big fan of Robert Redford. Well, Robert Redford doesn't act anymore, but just my luck, my wife, as well as my two adult daughters, now have a couple of other dreamy, blonde, blue-eyed guys to enjoy. There's Bradley Cooper, right? And then there's Ryan Gosling. I mean, the two are just everywhere these days. You cannot get away from them. I digress. Back to Robert Redford. Robert Redford was once asked in an interview years ago what real love looked like. Being a Hollywood icon, his comments might come as a surprise to you. This is what Robert Redford said. A great lover is someone who can satisfy one woman for all of her life. And who can be satisfied by one woman for all of his life. A great lover, according to Robert Redford, is not someone who goes from woman to woman to woman to woman. Any dog can do that, he says. Now, it seems to me Robert Redford has landed on something of great value. What did he say? Essentially, this great actor has said, saturate your life with love and faithfulness. And if you never let go of love and faithfulness, what will you get in return? Solomon tells us, here it is. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Isn't that beautiful? The Scots have an interesting story that they have told over the years. It's the story of two brothers who lived several generations ago. And these two brothers were convicted of stealing a few sheep. And the penalty in that particular community a century or more ago for anyone caught stealing sheep was to take a red hot iron and brand the letters ST on their foreheads. It stood for sheep thief. Now, this was a shameful mark to wear, as you can imagine, and one of these brothers didn't handle it very well. He was so ashamed and humiliated of his own failure that he left his own community. He traveled across the channel to the European continent. He tried desperately to start his life all over again. But he had such a difficult time because everyone always asked him, what does the ST T stand for? Something he so desperately wanted to leave behind him followed him. It followed him wherever he went. He seemed defined by his failure. He lived in this cloud of shame and moving place to place. He never settled down. In fact, they buried him in a lonely, unmarked grave, lost and forgotten. But the other brother, as the story goes, the other brother decided that he was going to change his destiny. That mark of failure that was on his forehead would not define who he was. So he decided to stay right there in that small community where he grew up. And he made the decision that he would deal with all of it by learning how to make wise choices each and every day. And he became a man that he'd always dreamed of. Years passed by. In fact, a whole generation passed by. One day, a visitor came into the little village, and when he saw this particular brother, he asked one of the people in the community there, "What does the ST branded in that man's forehead represent?" The villager said to the stranger, he says, "You know, I really don't know. All I know is that something important happened to him a long, long time ago that seemed to have changed his life." And then he thought about it for a moment, and he said to this stranger, "You know what? Based on what I know to be true about this man, I believe that ST must represent the word saint." If you saturate your life with love and faithfulness, you will be marked by that. You will win favor and get a good name. It doesn't matter what kind of failure you have experienced in your life, what kind of marked past you may have. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's an unwise business venture. Maybe it's an addiction that you just couldn't seem to control. What this says with such power is you do not have to live your life in misery and failure. Past mistakes, listen now, past mistakes or sins do not define who you are. If you will choose the path of wisdom, Solomon says, to live the rest of your life embracing love and faithfulness, which also means dependability, and do it consistently, Solomon says you will win favor and a good name, not only in the sight of your fellow men around you, but also in the sight of God. It is a beautiful thing. Let's go to the second wise saying before we close. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 5. One of my favorite passages in all of Holy Writ. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." Now look at how this flows together. Solomon's put it together with great intention and design. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What's the opposite of trusting in the Lord with all your heart? It's found right in the next part of the saying. Lean not on your own understanding. The wise path is to trust the Lord with all your heart. The foolish path, says Solomon, is to lean on your own understanding. You know how it goes. You think to yourself that you can figure it out. That's complete foolishness, says Solomon. What does trusting the Lord with all your heart look like? Solomon makes it very clear right here in the passage. Again, created with great design and intention. He says, in all your ways, submit to him. And what will you get? What will be the result? He will make your paths straight. Clear direction. Confident choices. Rich and meaningful results. He will make your pathways clear and straight. You will know his will for your life. But you must do two things. Solomon says, first of all, what you must do is trust in the Lord with all your heart. That is to say, in all your ways, acknowledge or submit to him. And second, he says, what you must avoid at all costs is lean not on your own understanding. That's difficult. I mean, why wouldn't you want to lean on your own understanding? God gave me a brain to use, didn't he? You see, it all goes back to the Garden of Eden. God gave Adam and Eve two trees, correct? The tree of life, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil, leaning on your own understanding. And Adam and Eve had a choice to make. You can choose to trust me, says God, or you can choose to try to be real smart about it, leaning on your own understanding and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Are you going to live by faith? That's the question. Or are you going to lean on your own strength? You all know what happened next, right? Garden of Eden? Many of us face the same choices each and every day. Are you going to live a God-centered life? Or are you going to live a life that is centered in yourself? It doesn't matter, parent, child, young, old. One leads to life, the other to foolishness and death. This is the pathway to wisdom, Solomon says. This is the pathway to a rich and meaningful life. Jesus, also a very wise man, put it this way. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That is the way of wisdom, and that is the way of Jesus. Now, some of you here might be sitting here this morning feeling a bit frustrated and confused about where your life seems to be headed right now. You really don't know. And you're going along and you really don't know what the right path is. And it's left you really, really confused and frustrated and maybe even a little bit in a funk. So here, Solomon says, is a solemn promise to you. Those of you who are searching for the right path in your life, here is what Solomon says. It's going to be clear. You cannot miss it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, every way, acknowledge him, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. God is saying, if you will daily put your trust in me, if you will live your life in complete and full surrender and dependence upon me, that path will be made clear. Job opportunity, important relationship, educational pursuit, financial choices, be it a big choice or a small choice, doesn't matter. The path will be clear, Solomon says, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart. So here's an experiment that I'd love for you to step into this week. This week, choose each day to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't worry about whether or not you are trusting enough or whether you have enough faith. Don't worry about it. This week, here's what's important. Don't focus on the quality of your faith. Focus on the object of your faith. Do you get that? Make this a God-centered week. You can actually do that. We're going to start right now for just a moment before we dismiss you. Everyone, I want you to all to just sit up right now as tall as you can in your pew, wherever you're seated. Sit up as tall as you can right now. I want you to just allow trust to just penetrate your body, to just get all over you. I want you to sit up real straight. Take a deep breath. Way, way, way deep into your lungs. Can you do that? And as you do so, hold it for a moment and just acknowledge that breath is a gift from God. Now exhale. And smile. If you've committed your life to Jesus Christ, if you have accepted him as Savior and Lord of your life, I want you to just hold on to this one little phrase. If you remember nothing else today, I want you to hold on to this as you make your way through your week. Think of this little phrase, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of the Almighty God. And live this week as if you have been accepted and forgiven and embraced and unconditionally loved by the God of the universe. What kind of difference would that make in the way that you lived your life if you allowed love and faithfulness to saturate your heart? If you chose to receive this deep down shalom peace, knowing that God will take care of you, how might this change the way that you lived each day? So I want to encourage you as you walk out today, make this your wisdom-driven week. Make this week the week that you walk, the week that you sit, the week that you breathe, the week that you talk, not based on how strong you can trust, but based on the one you place your trust in.